Welcome to Bearing Light, a podcast of the Georgia Bulletin, news source of the Catholic Archdiocese of Atlanta. I'm editor Nicole Golden, and I'm so excited to have our reporters, Andrew Nelson and Natalia Duran, on this episode, which is a look back at the year 2025 in the realm of Catholic news. Welcome.
Hey, Nicole. So good to be back. Thanks.
And welcome to Natalia.
Hello, Nicole and Andrew. It's so good to see you guys and be here today.
And you're an experienced podcaster, so
I am, yes.
Tell our listeners about your podcast.
Hablemos de Fe is our Spanish language podcast that we've had since June. It's weekly. We've been having a lot of fun with it and learning more about the Hispanic community here in the Archdiocese.
It keeps you very busy, I know.
It does, but I love it so much.
I love it, too, that we've taken it on, because for so long, I feel like we could have been doing more to serve our Hispanic Catholics, and I'm very grateful that you and Tatiana have taken it on.
Yes. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, no, it's wonderful. It's good.
Yep. Well, can you believe a new year is almost upon us?
I was just thinking about how the year has gone by so fast. It's almost not worth making resolutions because the year goes by so fast. You never get around to them.
But, I know. It seems like we were just celebrating Christmas, and as we record this, it's almost Christmas. And
right.
Didn't we just do that?
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of feeling, for sure.
Yeah. Especially as you get older, like the years fast forward.
I can identify with that, but Natalia, the younger person that she is, she may not feel the same way.
Yeah.
So we're going to just have a little chat about all the great stories of the year, and both local and as a global Catholic community. Obviously, the big story of the year, which was, of course, a little sad that we lost Pope Francis this year, and then also the election of a new pope, Pope Leo, the first American pope. Where were you on that day? Natalia, I know where you were.
Well, Nicole and I were here together, and I remember I was watching the live stream, just waiting.
Yes.
And when I heard he was American, I was floored. I did not think I was going to see that.
That's the exact word that Bishop Konzen used. Floored.
Yeah.
I was standing right next to him, and he said, "I'm floored." He said he'd had a conversation a couple days prior to that with some, you know, with some parishioners out and about, that he didn't think there'd be an American pope. But I guess the Holy Spirit took over the process and proved that wrong. But so, yes, you were here with me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a watch party, right?
Like, yes.
Once the white smoke came up, people hurried downstairs.
Yeah, we ran downstairs and we all watched it together. And it was just so weird because I think as a young person, I just never thought I'd feel like so connected to a pope like that, especially because he's so good at connecting with the young adults, which I think he's really caused a revival.
Yeah.
I think he will. And there'll be, of course, time in the new year to see his pontificate take shape and what he'll be about. I think there's some things about him that are like Francis and some things that are different.
Yeah. But
where were you that day?
I was in Athens. I was working on a story about sisters at Oasis Catholica with Sister Marguerite Martin, about the ministry there that they were moving back to Philadelphia. But she and I was scheduled to interview her. And she had the TV on in the background, so I was trying to ask her questions. But if you ever have met her, she's always on the go. So you really have to put on a seatbelt so she doesn't walk around. But she was walking around, and I was trying to interview her, and then all of a sudden the white smoke appeared, and she got super excited. It was very, very funny to watch. And then we were waiting and waiting, and then he came out, and she recognized his name right away and said, "I think he's American." And like Bishop Konzen, I was like, "Oh, there's no way, there's no way." And sure enough, he was. But she was very excited. And they had some sisters from Nicaragua staying in their convent at the time, and they came out. So it was a small little mobile home trailer park in a trailer park, rather. And there were a bunch of us in this living room watching their TV. So it was kind of it was very exciting.
You had a watch party too.
Yes, exactly. Although I will say, like, it's still taken me a little while. I still, whenever, like during Mass, you know, during the prayers, when they name the bishops and the popes mm-hmm. by name, it always strikes me as, oh my gosh, Pope Francis, he's no longer with us. And he was such a tremendous pope for people over the years.
Such a pope of mercy, at least in my view, that really took that message of mercy and made it real. And what I liked about our coverage, since we're looking back, is how you both connected with people here in the diocese about their thoughts on Pope Francis and what he meant to them. And even if people had not had the chance to be with him in person in Rome or to see him in Rome, they still had definite thoughts about him.
Yeah, it was very moving. The trip to Rome is very much a bucket list for Catholics. And there were people, I recall a young couple that went and had their marriage blessed with Pope Francis, which is a fairly common thing. He meant a lot to a lot of people. And I think we're still kind of figuring out how he's shaped the church and the direction that the church is going to go in under him.
And it's such a moment in church history to watch it unfold. Every time there is a transition, it's an amazing history lesson. For Catholics. Another thing is that he is also an order priest, the Augustinian order, which Bishop Conzen remarked that was surprising to see so quickly on the heels of a Jesuit pope that we chose to do, or the cardinals chose to do that again. Yeah. So that will be interesting to see what flavor or charism that adds to his leadership.
I also think it's like a little bit of a history lesson for us Catholics because we have these religious order priests, but we don't really know what perhaps a religious order is. And the society, Jesus, the Jesuits, very well known. But the Redemptorists, I'm sure a lot of people were going to Wikipedia to figure out what's a Redemptorist.
100%, yeah. I feel like a lot of my friends who are Catholics never really knew the religious orders, and now they're learning everything about them.
It's such a adds so much to our church, and I haven't shared this with you all yet, but that's something we will be doing in the new year. We're going to kind of do a breakdown of all the religious orders that serve here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. So,
oh, that's awesome!
That's exciting.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I think it'll be enjoyable, and we'll learn a lot, and hopefully readers will as well. So. Obviously, big story. That was the big story of the year in the Catholic world. But locally, what were some of your favorite stories? Andrew, I know you had a few.
Yeah, I had a it was a great year. I'm so grateful for this job and being able to go out to the different parishes and the different ministries to see how people live out the Catholic faith. So in looking back at the year, some stories that surfaced in my mind were one was the young adults at Our Lady of Vietnam Church with their Vietnamese lion dancing. This was a great story. I very much enjoyed doing it, where these young people married their culture and their faith and just had a wonderful celebration of doing this folk tradition of lion dancing.
And uses their gifts in a different way. I mean, we always think of, church for young people is going to faith formation, or it's this, but it just showed you all the different ways that.
Oh, yeah. The young people would say that the lion dancing and this group that formed, and they were very tight knit, kind of kept them in the church, right? Because that's where their friends, and they made connections with each other. And really did a nice job doing it. So that was one story, the lion dancing. Let me give a plug. If anybody has the opportunity to go to one of our two Vietnamese parishes, which I guess is going to be soon three, coming up,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look out for their Lunar New Year celebrations, their Tet celebrations. Everyone will have them because they're lots of entertainment. Great singing, although I don't speak a word of Vietnamese. wonderful food, and people are just so warm and welcoming. So that's a great opportunity to go see another slice of our Universal Church.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you I know you had so many features this year that were, you know, sharing how every Catholic lives out their faith in a different way, but you had so many wonderful features this year, Andrew. And you also kind of did an update on Mare School has a new institute.
Yeah, that was probably the most, what's the word I'm looking for, powerful story for
me. Yes.
The Bearing Witness Institute, hosted by Brendan Murphy at Mare School. This is a program that he's helped bring into existence, where his work as a history teacher has helped Catholics confront the church's historical role in anti-Semitism. But he does it also with a lot of honesty and also with a lot of hope. He has been teaching there for many years, and so 2025 was the one-year anniversary of the founding of the Bearing Witness. So he does this presentation. I happen to see it at the Woodruff Arts Center. That's sort of TED Talk style. He's on stage. He's got a lot of visuals. He's got a lot of historical records. And he's an excellent storyteller. Like, it's really, really moving and engaging. And then he ends with this talk about Nostra Aetate, the Vatican II document that helped reorientate Jewish and Catholic relations, along with other world religions. So it's a tough kind of conversation, but it ends in a really uplifting message. And I think he's done a tremendous job building the bridges between the Catholic Church and Jewish communities here in Atlanta. And he's also taken it nationally. And one thing that he does which is really cool, is he will always try to pair a Christian church with the nearby Jewish community. So he'll get invited by Christians, Catholic or Protestant, and then he'll say, hey, why don't you reach out to the nearest Jewish community and invite them to have a conversation? So it's not just a 2 or 3 night dialogue with ourselves, but you can learn together and then move forward together. So it's really a beautiful really thing. And I really would like, I want to get him on our podcast.
Oh, that would be great.
It would be really, really interesting.
Because at the root of it, it's about listening to other people's stories and, like you said, making those connections.
Yeah. He's done a very, really good job. So that was probably the most moving story that I had to do this year.
Mm-hmm. And we recently, this was your idea, we had a collection of Matthew 25 stories is what we called them. You know, for I was hungry and you gave me food, for I was in prison and you visited me. That was in our Thanksgiving issue. And we've had a lot of feedback, and but also I found them just a good reminder of everything that we're doing that lives out those gospels locally.
Yeah, no, shout out to Natalia and our colleague Juliana for helping, for putting this together, looking at the different ministries. What would we have? A warming center at a parish, right, for when the temperatures dip below 35 degrees, I think it was. Having a parish hall welcome women for a night out of the cold.
The prison ministry.
Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that?
I spoke with Deacon Ken Lampert. He works in the prison ministry, and he talked about a prisoner that he speaks with weekly. They write letters to each other. They're very close, and this prisoner has a life sentence, but he's so connected to his faith, and he writes in his letters about how the prison system in general is very anti-Catholic. So they kind of talked about how they work around that, how it is being Catholic in such a very harsh system. I learned so much about just what happens and just having a different perspective on people that go through hard things in life.
And I think his mother recently reached out to us.
Yes, his mother reached out to me and thanked me for putting his his letter in the article, which meant a lot to me. And yeah, I loved talking with him. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the work changes us as well along the way. So
yeah,
it's true. It happens. Any other favorites that you'd like to mention, Andrew, before we move to Natalia's top?
No, I don't think so.
Top
I
stories.
Wanted to mention I really appreciate the different cultural groups, but I do know we did some, stories that we don't have necessary time to get into, but like the new relics at the parish of in Cleveland,
St. Paul the Apostle.
Yeah, St. Paul the Apostle. Mm-hmm. I know that was popular with our readers online.
It was.
Viewers, which was wonderful, and I hope they're doing well up there at, in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's always sort of interesting what people gravitate to online versus what the feedback we hear about the print issue, and it's fun. We'll have that as a component of our year in review edition, kind of maybe the top 10 online stories, and I think people enjoy seeing what those were. But Natalia, what were some of your favorites of 2025?
I will agree with Andrew that this year was full of amazing stories and so much happened, and I'm so grateful for this job also because I love what I do. My favorite story this year was about the Pilgrim churches.
Oh, the Jubilee. For the Jubilee year.
So Juliana, our photographer, and I, we visited all six pilgrimage churches. And just learning about each one and just knowing its history was so eye-opening. Every single church is so different from the other, like St. Paul the Apostle is one of them. And seeing all those relics and just knowing that they're there, the artwork in Our Lady of the Mountains, the pews in Mary Queen, it's just everything's so different. And it was so fun just visiting and like seeing how much faith each site has. It was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. I loved it. And I loved writing that story. I feel like every time I read that story, I'm like traveling through time because it just takes me back like through history. I love
and
it.
And there's a companion video from Alan Kinsley, our videographer here at the Archdiocese. So.
Yes, yes.
And I think you even hosted a Marist School intern for one of the out on the road assignment days, mm-hmm. and he enjoyed it immensely, Luke Child. So.
Yes, he came with us to visit Church of the Purification of Blessed Virgin Mary, and he had no idea that he was even there, and he learned so much, and it was just so much fun. I loved doing that story.
Yeah, that's tremendous, like a... Going on the road. It's the best part of the job, right?
Yes.
Just getting out of the office and going on the road and doing those types of things.
Yes, best part. Says
Nicole,
the one who's mostly here.
Who's changed her desk.
I hope pilgrims have really taken advantage of that this year for the opportunity to see the churches, but also there's an indulgence for the, and I'm not an expert on all of that, but that they've taken the time to visit and deepen their spiritual life during this Jubilee Year of Hope. So, yes, that would be a favorite. Do you have another?
I would say a recent favorite one of mine is visiting the student at St. Mary's Academy who got a perfect ACT score.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was so fun because I was ready to meet just, in all honesty, someone who was just so smarter and, like, knew that they were smarter and cooler than everybody else, but she was the most humble, kind girl I've ever met, and she's so smart.
Relatable.
Yeah.
She seems lovely, and it came through the story. Helen Austin, perfect score, and she's not just in the books all the time with her nose in the books. She also...
She does theater. She loves musicals. She's so creative. She's so talented. She does drama. She helps out in so many clubs at St. Mary's Academy, and she took the ACT once on... I think it was, she said she got like 3 hours of sleep. She's just
amazing.
It was so amazing to hear about her and how much she loved math. She actually, one of her teachers wrote out a math problem for her to do on the board, on my whiteboard. And it was the most complicated thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And she did it in like 2 seconds, just so effortlessly. And
like
I'm
in front of you?
In front of me,
oh
yes, yes.
Yeah, those are the things my nightmares are made of.
Yes, yes. I'm not a math person at all.
Yeah.
So it was just so amazing. I just love seeing things that like kids in our Catholic schools are doing.
Well, and I think our schools do a great job of forming the whole person, and that's an example.
So do well, so well on a standardized test, but also be involved in, like you said, theater.
Yes.
And I loved hearing the comments from the faculty members there. They were very praiseworthy. And she came into the school for her, like her junior or senior year?
Yeah, she transferred her, I think it was her sophomore year.
Oh, okay.
She transferred.
Yeah. Which speaks well of the school.
Yes.
Right? That they, that it was something that she desired to be there.
Yeah, good, it's amazing.
Never
amazing.
Happened to me. I can let the record show.
It definitely didn't happen to me.
No, perfect.
And I'm the third to echo that. So here we are as journalists.
And she's on to journal tech, right? Is that where she was going to school?
No, she actually does not know where she wants to attend.
Oh.
Yeah, but she has a couple in mind. I know Georgia Tech is one of them. MIT.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Doors are wide open
doors are
for
wide
her.
Open for her, yes.
Wide open.
I cannot to see where she goes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And any other stories you'd like to share? Because I have one that I can mention.
You go ahead.
I don't write a whole lot anymore. I did recently an interview with a mom about a SALT family missionary experience. And I love writing about Catholics who've been other places, like when Archbishop Hartmeyer goes on a Catholic Relief Services trip. I love to sit down with him and hear about it. And that's kind of what I loved about this particular piece. It was a mom and a son who traveled to Belize. And you think of Belize, you think of tourism. But I learned that it's got a lot of issues facing it economically, with poverty, addiction, and these missionaries are offered a family experience to go with their whole family through the Society of Our Lady of the Trinity. I hope I'm saying that right. But beautiful experience, and I loved hearing about it. And again, one of those stories where I learn about something, and I hope readers do as well, and hope that families who are interested in mission work will explore that opportunity, because I think it's a nice one.
Yeah, I thought it was a great story also. But remind me, she went with an adolescent boy?
She went with her 13-year-old son, who I think some of the confirmation ages now are earlier, and he had just marked his confirmation, but she was looking for a way to build upon that with her son.
Right.
And so they did a mom-son trip.
And my recollection was that they also... She wanted to spur him to sort of break him out of his bubble, to realize, because he lives.
She said that.
Right?
We live
kind
in Cobb
affluent.
County.
Oh, yeah.
And she was admittedly said that. It's a bubble. And I'd started to see some things creep in that, and this really opened, his name is Luca, his eyes to, you know, the way we live is not the way most people in the world live. So,
yeah.
And what does our Catholic faith require of us? So I love stories that involve that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's
great. Any other favorites you all want to mention? I want to ask you all about some resolutions, but anything else you all would like to?
Well, we have, for you, Nicole,
uh-oh.
We have some rapid-fire questions for you as we wrap up this year of 2025.
Sure.
So in 10 seconds or less.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Oh, no.
Natalia and I are both writers, and I'm sure there are some times when you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do another revision. It's fine. So tell us, how many drafts is too many drafts?
It's never too many drafts if it makes it a better story. Although I will say, when I get them after they're already on the page and I get a can we do this or can we do that?
Yeah.
And my immediately
guilty.
Gut reaction is no. But then when I read what it is and what it's about, and if it makes it a better story, then we do it. That doesn't mean I don't grumble about it, but I will do it if it makes it better.
Oh, good. Grumble under her breath. That's fine. How about, you know, Mondays and Tuesdays are when we put the paper to bed,
right.
as we say. Hours are long.
Yes.
And sometimes it takes a lot of focus. What do you have, a spiritual practice that you kind of lean on, or a saint that you call upon when things are?
I always think of Gretchen Kaiser and Marianne Castranio on those days. I just always do,
That's
former
awesome.
Editors.
Yeah.
And I think we always have gotten through this. It always gets done, but that's not the goal. The goal is, I say on the car on the way in, a little prayer that it just unfolds the way it's supposed to for those who find the Georgia Bulletin something that they can use. So I just hope it unfolds well. And it is stressful, but and Juliana and Natalia have learned this. They my Diet Coke is a reward on Tuesdays.
I was just about to say,
and sometimes
Diet
they'll
Coke.
Go get me one, or sometimes I'll go get one myself.
Nice. But that's nice.
Diet Coke, and if it's a really bad production cycle, I will go down to the chapel and have a moment.
Oh, that's good. That's great. And then you have the responsibility of putting the front page together, the cover.
Yes, with Tom Schulte, our graphic designer.
Our paper. How about in 2025, was there a favorite color, favorite cover that you really liked that were like, oh, this is awesome?
Yeah, I do have a favorite cover, and it features, it's a photograph only, but it leads into a story by Natalia. The story was about a sensory mass that St. John Vianney in Lithia Springs has started for families who have children with disabilities, or for older people who have sensory issues. It's for anybody that a traditional mass is sometimes difficult for them. But the picture that Juliana took, the photograph, was a Father Jack Knight, and there's a young lady in the parish. She's got her two brothers behind her, and she's bringing up the Book of Prayer. They're presenting the gifts, and she has Down syndrome, and just the look between her and Father Jack is priceless. It captures, you know, just the joy and how we're supposed to better serve these families. And and then, of course, Tom works his magic with the wording that we use and the concept, and it's a beautiful cover.
Yeah, so. It is a beautiful
cover. I love that cover.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, yeah. They are staring into each other's eyes.
They are,
right?
Yeah.
It's very, very powerful.
Yeah,
he's kind of almost kneeling.
He's on her level. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Father Jack is on her level.
Yeah, staring right at each other.
Yeah, it makes my eyes water to think of it. I wasn't there for the moment, but I feel like I was. Yeah. So
and Natalia did a great job in this.
The story is excellent as well.
I spoke with her parents, and they were so happy just to see us there and taking pictures. It was really fun.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's meaningful to them as well. They feel like they're being seen and recognized.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was amazing. Like, they had, what they call it, fidget spinners or something. Like, they had all sorts of
Yes,
tools
they really
to help
thought
these.
Everything out. Yeah. Yes, yes.
And bilingual, right?
Yes, it was bilingual.
That's wonderful.
They dimmed the lights, no music. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good kudos to the parish, St. John.
So that was my absolute favorite cover.
Well, good choice.
Good choice.
Since we're transitioning from one year to the next, do you all have resolutions, whether spiritual or professional? Natalia?
I have a couple. one would be to get out of my writing comfort zone. I've never ever written a sports piece.
Okay.
I don't know why, because I love sports.
I was going to say, yeah, you're a sports
I
fan.
I love sports.
Your
I really,
whole
really,
family is
involved. Yes, yes. I don't know what it is. I just cannot write about it. And I really want to try it this year. I'm going to, next year.
Have you tried and not
yes,
succeeded?
Yes, and I've
where
just,
you
yeah.
You haven't succeeded.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just I can't do sports lingo in like a writing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I'm going to try. That's one of mine.
We're going to. I know you can do it.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
Thank
that's
you.
That's a very good one. Michael Alexander, he was a great sports writer.
Yeah.
My God,
right.
He said he was just a photographer, like when I read his sports stories, I kind of felt like I was there. I mean, he did such a good job.
I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to, maybe I should read some of his.
Oh, you could do a lot worse.
They've always said, every paper I've ever been at, sports writers are really the best writers the bunch because they have to treat it as if, you know, the reader's not there. You're painting a picture.
They're really good at, one of my other resolutions is what I call like sensory reporting. They really like can tell, like they're so good at narratives, writing exactly what's going on. That's one of my other resolutions.
Excellent resolutions.
Yeah, that's great.
I look forward to seeing you do those.
That's good. That's
and
good.
Andrew, do you, spiritual or professional?
Yes. I'm going to choose spiritual for 200, Nicole. I think 2026, right? It'll be six.
Yep.
I think I'm going to look for a spiritual director. I've never
had
one.
Wow.
I've had several good friends that have done it, or that they perform it. They're priests, and I just think it would be good for me to try that out and see where it leads me. So
that's wonderful.
Check in with me in December, December, a year from now.
You might get a few phone calls from priests after this.
So. Availability. Yeah. So that'd be great.
Also, you know, one of the things too, that every year we lose priests and we lose nuns who are important in the life of our local church. So I thought I'd take a moment to acknowledge some of the wonderful men and women who've served us in that capacity. We lost quite a few priests this year. Father Frank Kissel, a priest of the Society of Mary, Monsignor Jim Finnessy, retired pastor of St. Jude the Apostle Church, Father Greg Goolsby, he served at a number of parishes. Father Jim Harrison, who was the founding principal of St. Pius High School, we also lost him this year. Father Bruce Wilkinson, longtime pastor at Most Blessed Sacrament, he also died in the spring. Father Fernando Molino Restrepo, who had been a priest for the Archdiocese of Atlanta for more than 25 years, also died in 2025. And then we lost four sisters this year, two Hawthorne Dominicans and two sisters of St. Joseph, Sister Mary Kateri and Sister Mary Eugenia. They were Hawthorne Dominicans serving at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Home, which serves the incurable cancer patients. They do amazing work there at the home. Sister Mary Rebecca Campbell and Sister Mary Pauline Ochen were sisters of St. Joseph. They had served many years ago here in the Archdiocese as educators. That's what their order, I think, at the time was primarily focused on, served many schools in both Atlanta and Savannah. So we remember all of those priests and nuns who helped build what we have today and have impacted many lives. In fact, I've heard from several parishioners about these particular priests on this that we lost this year and how they shaped their family life, their faith life. And so we recognize them and remember them and pray for them.
I think Father Monsignor Fennessy, excuse me.
Yes.
When I first moved to Atlanta 20 plus years ago now, almost 20 years ago, he celebrated Mass, my first Mass here in Atlanta. I was living up on the north side at the time, and I went to St. Jude, and I remember thinking, why is there an Irish priest in Atlanta? I've since come to know the history. But I'm convinced that he was the celebrant there. So he was a well-liked,
yes,
much beloved,
very,
pastor, as were all of these.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you all for sharing with us today all your favorites. And a more complete and thorough year in review will be featured in our January 8th print edition. So we'll be working on that a little bit over the break and hope you all will check that out. Thank you all for listening to Bearing Light, with new episodes available the first and third Mondays of the month, wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts. Find the latest news at georgiabulletin.org. A happy new year to you and yours, and we hope you'll join us again in 2026 for more episodes of Bearing Light.